This week we actually had the college kids over. Not very many of them, but on Wednesday night, a couple of them came over, and we watched Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. How many of you have seen that? Quite a few of you. It is a fantastic movie. Absolutely fantastic. It's Jimmy Stewart. I think it's 1939, and he plays a guy who goes to Washington who really doesn't belong there, just kind of accidentally gets put there, and ends up doing some things which basically he ends up being attacked for what he's doing. And his integrity is put into question. And he stands for, he has every reason. It would have been great for him to just give up and go along with what was going on. They basically destroyed his life, but he stood for what was right. And he continued to stand for what was right, even though it cost him everything. At one point in the movie, he was losing everything. Integrity. In real life, if you look back through history, it's hard sometimes to find people of integrity. George Washington, I like. George Washington is a, you know, he chopped that cherry tree down and he didn't tell a lie. he did amazing things. The guy was over 6 feet tall. I forget how tall exactly, but he was a war hero. He was one of the best horsemen in the colonies. There's a story of him, like, two men in the colonial army were fighting. He jumped his horse over something, ran up to the two men, grabbed him like this, and picked him up like this, and held him apart. The guy was just massively strong, amazing, a hero. Everybody thought he was fantastic, okay? Other people in the world, when the world was watching America basically rebel against the British government, the largest army in the world, the most powerful army in the world, they thought they don't got a chance. Washington was the leader of this army. They thought Washington was going to be king of the Americas. And he could have been. One of the only presidents, well, the only president, who totally unanimous electoral vote. Everybody loved him. He put his hand on the Bible and he swore an oath to the Constitution. And after two terms, he voluntarily stepped down. He could have taken authority like that, and he stepped away from it. Why? He had integrity. The definition, just Webster's definition of integrity, is firm adherence to your moral principles. Firm adherence to your moral principles. Synonyms, innocence, purity, incorruptibility. The opposite, I think, of integrity is hypocrite. A hypocrite. Person of integrity or a hypocritical person. Politicians are kind of, it's a horrible thing. But I always think when I think politicians, I think that. And that's not true. There's a lot of good politicians out there. But politicians have tended to be swayed by the needs of the moment, as opposed to having a firm adherence to principles that they will follow no matter what because they believe in them, they believe it's right. They're swayed by, oh, that many votes? Okay, I'll go this way. one of my early not heroes is Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson was president, put his hand on that Bible, swore, I will follow the Constitution of the United States. And during the course of his term, the Supreme Court made a decision that was unpopular. They said the Cherokee Indian Nation has the right to be at the certain place. I'm part Cherokee, believe it or not. So I know a little bit of this history. But they said the Cherokee Nation has a right to be at this certain spot. It was an unpopular decision. Jackson took the Cherokee Nation, marched them to Oklahoma, and said, Supreme Court, if you want that to happen, you enforce it. Who cares about the Constitution? I have the power. Where is the integrity there? Integrity is an interesting thing. In the Christian world, I think I would define it more specifically. The way I define it in Christian terms is integrity is adherence to following God. Firm adherence to following God. Following His principles. There are many men in the Bible who are examples of integrity. One of my favorite all time is Daniel. I've preached on Daniel a few times, taught on Daniel a few times, and just love the integrity in his life over and over again. You see his integrity, standing up for what's right, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, following his principles. Another is Job. You can turn there if you want to, Job 2. God is talking to Satan. The Lord said to Satan, chapter 2, verse 3, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason." Job's entire life was ruined, and what did he do? He held fast to his integrity. It's an amazing thing. If you go down to verse 9, his wife was even saying to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." If your wife's telling you that, you're in trouble. He had it difficult, but he held fast to his integrity. Sometimes when we look at these characters, we think they're more than human. We look at them and it blows us away. And yet they were. They're just like us. Some of our favorite characters sometimes are characters in the Bible we can identify more with, like Peter. Everybody identifies with Peter because Peter made so many mistakes. It did such silly things. Another one in the Old Testament is David. And I was talking to the college a few weeks ago. We were having a conversation about integrity, and I was talking about David and his triumphs and his struggles, and what we're going to do for the next few weeks, is expand on David, because he's easy to identify with, but he's a great example of integrity and an example of mistakes. What did God say about him? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 9. Solomon is ruling the nation. He's the new king. He's going to build the temple. He's going to create a massive empire, consolidating David's gains. David was a warrior. David conquered land after land, the nation biggest it's ever been. And Solomon's consolidating all that. He's going to become massively wealthy, okay, and powerful. Most powerful, Assyria and Babylon right now, we're at a downtrend. The nation of Israel was rising up. There's a power vacuum. Egypt was going. There's a power vacuum, and the nation of Israel was going to become the most powerful nation in the world for quite a few years. And in that, at the beginning of his reign, 1 Kings chapter 9, God says to him, chapter 9, verse 4, to Solomon, "And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, with integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and keeping my statutes and my rules, I'll establish you." And he goes on and talks about the promises. The integrity of David. And it keeps on going. If you go through Kings, if you go through Chronicles, it talks about be like David. Be like David. David was the guy. David followed after God. In Acts 13, it says David was a man after God's own heart. When Saul rejected, it's a quote from actually 1 Samuel 13. Saul is rejected as king, and Samuel saying, "What do we do? Saul should be king. Saul was king. God, you reject him. What do we do?" And God says, 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart." David was a man after God's own heart. David's heart was different. David had a heart of integrity. What does this integrity look like in David's life? What does integrity look like overall? We'll go there in a second. Integrity is an inward quality of the heart, okay? A lot of times we look at outward things and we think, that person looks good. That person's right on because they look good. That's not it. It's inside. What's inside? Integrity is an inward quality of the heart. That'd be point one. Inward quality of the heart. When Samuel is anointing, God sends Samuel to anoint David, king over Israel. And Samuel doesn't know which one it's going to be, which one of the sons of Jesse. And he's looking at all the sons, and he's seeing the tall sons and the strong sons, and he said, God, isn't it this one? God, isn't it this one? And God says to him, he says, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. Is the heart that's important to God? Is the heart that's pure? Is the heart that has integrity, not the outside? We are very concerned with the outside so often. When we bought our house and those basement walls down there were covered with nice paneling, and it all looked nice. We got the paneling off. Joe walks downstairs and goes, uh-oh, there's something wrong. There is no integrity there. Look good from the outside, but no integrity. Jesus talking to the Pharisees continually. They're fasting. And they'd go around, they're looking sad, and they'd fast. And they do it all for show. There's no integrity there. There's no reason for them to fast. They did it for show. He says, when you fast, go out, anoint your head, look happy, don't tell anybody. Don't be hypocritical. Have integrity. When Dad preached through Isaiah, going through the book of Isaiah, the people of Israel at that point, part of their problem was they had no integrity. Their outward appearance was everything is good. They worshiped. Isaiah 29, verse 13. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me not with their and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. And their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. It's all words. It's all hypocritical. It's lips. It's talking, but there's nothing in the heart. The hearts are messed up. We look at the outward appearance because that's all we can see. God looks at the heart. I can't get into all the stories. Just in David's life, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, we talked about this with the youth recently. David's dancing before the Lord because they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. And he's dancing in front, and his wife looks out the window and thinks he looks really stupid. I think he was showing his knees, and he had bad knees. But he's like, and so he goes up, and he's talking to his wife, the daughter of Saul, and she says, how can you look so foolish in front of everybody? And he says, I'm dancing before the Lord. I am humbling myself before God. What does it matter? I am worshiping God. I'm falling down before him. I don't care if they look at me this way. He had integrity. His heart was correct. It's an inward principle, an inward thing. If you want integrity, look at your heart. Integrity manifests itself, though. It doesn't just stay in the heart. It manifests itself in correct actions, outward actions. Even when it's difficult. Even when it's difficult to do what's right, you still do what's right. Like the disciples sitting there being beaten by the Sanhedrin and saying, we will obey God rather than men. We will continue to preach the gospel because this is what we believe. Christ is who we follow. The person who says, I believe, and yet is not willing to take the beating. What does that mean? David, turn to 1 Samuel 26. We'll go there. 1 Samuel 26. David was being chased all over the countryside by Saul, his father-in-law, which says something about father-in-laws. Mother-in-laws are bad too, but father-in-law, no. Father-in-laws chasing him all over the countryside, and he takes 3,000 men. 3,000 men are chasing him. And they all camp, okay? They all get in the camp. Saul's in the middle of the camp, the safest spot. All his men are around him, and all his men fall asleep, okay? And Saul falls asleep. They're all camping out. David's sitting up in his fortress thing, and he says, hey guys, 26, verse 6. Then David said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Joab's brother Abishah, the son of Zeruiah, who will go down with me into the camp into the camp to Saul, and Abishai said, I will go down with you. David's like, let's go sneak into camp, see what we can do. And that's just David's personality. I love his personality. He's like the mighty men of David, the guy who jumped into the pit on the snowy day and fought the lion. It's David things. David does amazing things. So they go down to the camp, and David's able to sneak through the entire camp. He gets all the way to the center of camp, okay? And there's Saul sleeping there, and Saul's spear is sitting at his head, and Abishai says to David, David, God has given your enemy into your hand this day. Now please, let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of the spear, and I will not strike him twice. Think about that. This guy is completely and wrongly following you around trying to kill you, and has been trying to kill you for years. Who was the rightful future king of Israel? David. Samuel anointed him. God chose him. Saul was a bad man. A very bad man. Why not let your friend sit there who says, listen, I'll only hit him once and it'll be done. I'll pin him to the ground with the spear and it's over. It's done. You're next king. Everybody likes you. Saul's crazy. We're finished. We're out of the wilderness. This is great. What did David say? Verse 9 of chapter 26. Do not destroy him, for who can put out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And David said, as the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him, or his day will come to die, or he will go down into battle and perish. I won't do it. Don't do this. Why? In every worldly sense, it makes sense to kill the guy. It just makes sense. It fixes the problem. But David says no. I think two reasons here. First of all, it's not his place to do it. It would be so easy to let his friend kill that guy, kill Saul, evil Saul. But it was not his place. God did not command him or tell him to do that. The ends don't justify the means. Integrity does not set aside its principles for the sake of a perceived good result. This is hard. Because we get stuck in situations where it seems like the best thing to do is set aside our principles for just a few minutes and take care of the problem. And David said here, no, don't do it. It'd be easy, but don't do it. Second, David was willing to wait. Verse 10, there'll be a point in time when God will strike him down. He'll die, he'll go into the battle, something will happen. God's anointed me, I know I'm going to be the future king, but I got to wait. I got to wait for God's timing. Integrity involves having faith to trust that God will bring about his plan in his timing. It doesn't seek to hurry up the process. And that's hard, hard, hard to do because we want the process done. We want our things done in our timing. And here, David said, no, I'm waiting on God's timing because I'm following after God and God doesn't want me to do this. If you take your children home, I know it's noon now, if you take your kids home, you put them at the kitchen table and you put a bunch of cookies in front of them, get some homemade cookies out and sit them there around 1 o'clock, put plates of cookies in front of all of them, and then you say, okay, dinner will be about half an hour. Now don't eat those cookies till after dinner. That would be cruel, but it would be very hard to do. Why? Because no one wants to wait. If you see something that you think is good, you don't want to wait. You need to wait for God's timing. Integrity does what is right, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when you have to wait for God's timing, even when you think it's best, it looks best to you. Integrity does what's right. David's actions were those of integrity, not expediency. Integrity also manifests itself in correct thinking. It's neat to see integrity in a kid's thinking when you're talking to teens. It's interesting because sometimes you see their actions or what they're thinking about or what they're going to do. And a lot of times what they're going to do, they do based upon whether they're going to get in trouble or, you know, what consequences. No, my parents will hate me. They'll take away the car or whatever if I do this. And, yeah, okay, that's a kid. But it's neat when they go, you know, I'm going to call my parents or I'm going to not see that movie or I'm going to do this or that. Why? Because I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. And the thinking is not how much trouble I can get in or what will result in less problems for me. Their thinking is, how can I please God? How can I do what's right? How can I follow him? Correct thinking. Their thinking is right. How does David think? Have any of you ever looked at how David thinks? Read the Psalms. When you read the Psalms, it blows me away how David thinks. David's relationship with God. We have no time to go through all of David's Psalms at all. I will just hit on just a couple. David trusts in God. Over and over again, he says, the Lord is my shield, the Lord is my rock. Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Over and over and over again, psalm after psalm, he says, I will trust in the Lord. I put my faith in the Lord. I rely upon him. And having a correct heart, having a heart of integrity, having a heart that can stand for what's right and follow after Christ, you have to trust in God. You have to just put your entire life and say, Lord, I am placing my life, my security, everything into your hands. That is difficult to do. Yet read the Psalms and read how David's heart was, what he thought, how he acted. If Psalm 17, and not 1 Samuel 17, David's fighting Goliath, right? Every single other guy in that camp had some inkling, at least, or they should have known, that God had promised to deliver the people of Israel, they could fight against these guys and they would have victory. God promised that to them. All these other guys, knowing that, okay, Goliath comes out and says, who can overcome me? Come and fight me, you know, and this guy is like 9 foot tall and they're scared. David comes up, little young David. What does he do? He's read the same books they've read, same passages in the Bible. He went, you know, he's going to, well, not synagogue, but temple. You know, he's being taught. He took what he read and he actually believed it and acted on it. He goes up to this giant guy and he says, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Why? He had integrity. It's how he thought. It wasn't just an outward thing. It's a thing that went inside him and changed him. So everybody else had the same message. He took it and he believed it. And then he acted on it. Amazing. David's thinking was beyond head knowledge. It was applied in action. It was correct thinking. It was principled thinking, trusting in God, living it out in action. Integrity. When you read the Psalms, it talks about God being his fortress, his deliverer. David meant it. It was part of his character. His thinking was correct, and his actions were correct. His heart was set on following God. All of you know Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Continues on. Think about the first verse, first phrase. The Lord is my shepherd. How many of you can actually say that? I know I can't. Not a lot of times. Think of the comfort there. But think of the heart there where you're thinking, God is my shepherd. I follow God. God leads me. He is my shepherd. That is a heart that's different. A heart that's changed. Who guides David's life? Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells securely. He has given his heart to God. Psalm 101, verse 2. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. A heart of integrity. David's perspective on God's word. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 19. Do you want to know what integrity looks like? Read the Psalms. What's that heart look like? David follows God. David passionately loved God's word. David passionately loved God. And David followed him in his thinking and in his actions. His heart was to follow God. His thinking was, my life belongs to God, and I will follow him no matter what. I know I went through that super fast. Super duper duper fast. But I want to do the next 2 weeks something. Next week I want to talk about David falling flat on his face. And basically, the failure of integrity. His failure and integrity. And then the week after that, I'd like to do the restoration of integrity. And the restoration of David. I'd like to give you a challenge, okay? A challenge is this. You're not perfect, I'm not perfect, none of us are perfect, and we can't be perfect, and God does not call us to be Pharisees. Don't want to be Pharisees. He wants us to follow after him and love him. Just make him a part of our hearts, a part of our lives, following after him, and we begins by knowing we're sinners falling flat on our face and asking him to save us because there's nothing good within us. Read through the psalm and look at David's heart. Go through, at the top of most of your Bibles, it should say a psalm of David. And look, and it says different psalms. This one's a psalm of David, this one's a psalm of David. Read through a few of those. And look at what a heart looks like who has a right relationship with God. And just be encouraged by that. Think, what's my relationship like? I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to go, wow, what's my relationship with God like? Maybe this is something I need to work on. I want to work on my relationship with Christ. I want to love his word. I want to love him. I want to get involved with who he is. Love him passionately. And as you make decisions, because life is hard sometimes, walk in integrity. Let integrity be your guide. What does God want you to do? Walk in integrity. Proverbs 11 says this. This is Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. You don't know what to do? Walk in integrity. Let it be your guide. Follow after Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for just the example you've given us in David. And just how encouraging it is to look at someone who struggled in life but still followed after you and had a passion and a heart for you and desired to have integrity in his life. Help us all to walk in integrity and let you guide us in everything we do. In your name, amen.